Begin with the end in mind. And when we developed the podcast, we looked at the end and we said, okay, what do we want the podcast to accomplish? What do you want your avatar to actually do? And what is the result of the podcast for you?
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, podcast. This episode's going to be a little bit different because usually, you know how we do, every even episode is solo, or every even or every odd number is either solo or an interview. For the next couple of episodes, probably like four of them, I'm going to actually push out interview episodes during solo episode days. Only because we have so many extra interview episodes that are going all the way through past the end of the year. And so I want to bring you that great content, and I'll take a break from the solos just for a few weeks and we'll jump right back in. So this interview, although it's supposed to be a solo episode, it's going to be an interview episode. So let's dive in and you can get the value that this guest has.
Hey, what's up, podcaster? It is your host, Adam A. Adams, and we are hanging out today with Brian Briscoe. And I need this. Here we go. We're hanging out today with Mr. BB and AA, and we are talking about a couple of things. We definitely want to go through his process of how he grows his podcast organically, but he also has a couple other pieces of advice that I think every new podcaster needs. I won't hint those yet. But we're going to be talking about how he grows organically. So you're going to want to stick around for that. And then also these two other things. And there is one last thing, Brian, that I want you to be talking about. And you've got a cool process with how you interview and who you interview that I've never seen anyone else do. You're the only one who does it. And I want the listener to kind of hear that and maybe take a page out of your book. So with that said, Brian, you're... bio is already in the show notes. Mm-hmm. So for my listener, that's where they can get the bio right now. Let's just jump right in. Brian's been a friend for quite a while. He's in the apartment investing space. So his podcast is called Diary of an Apartment Investor. And you can check that out. It's already in the show notes. So scroll down, check it out, especially if you want to do apartment investing. But there's a couple reasons why you would probably want to check out his show. And that's mostly for this process that he does, how he interviews. So let's just get started. First and foremost, I want to find out, why did you start your podcast? Why and when? That's the question.
Yeah. So why and when? Great questions. I mean, when I look at what got me into the multifamily space myself, into apartment investing, a large part of my journey was the podcasts, you know, and a lot of times I started going on podcasts and I realized what a powerful tool it was to reach a lot of people. And I was looking at the people that I looked at as successful, and they all had podcasts. And so part of it was just thinking, well, you know, Rod Cleef, Michael Blanc, Adam, you had the Creative Real Estate Podcast at the time, which I listened to a ton. But all the people that I looked at as being successful in the business had podcasts. Now, I mean, looking back at it, it was because I listened to a lot of podcasts, but that was part of the reason why we wanted to start a podcast. When I say we, I had a couple of partners who were my business partners, and we decided, okay, we're going to start a podcast. It's going to help us to, you know, do X, Y, and Z. And I remember going to a conference, and this is actually the conference where we met for the first time. But talking with everybody in the room, I heard this over and over and over again. Oh, hey, we're going to start a podcast. Oh, hey, we're going to start a podcast. And it seemed like everybody there was going to start a podcast on multifamily investing, and they were going to follow exactly the same model that like the Rod Cleves, Michael Blancs, Joe Fairlesses of the world were following. And that put us back to the drawing board. And we started really thinking about, okay, you know, we need to do something that's different, because all these people that either just launched a podcast or are going to launch a podcast, and it's going to be really, really crowded really soon if it's not already. So that's what it was. And we went back to the drawing board and we started thinking, okay, what do we want from our podcast? And we started talking about what the future of our company would be and what we're going to do. And we decided that we wanted to eventually start an educational arm of the company, where we teach people how to invest in multifamily properties. And so we decided to build the podcast to be a feeder into that future company. And so that's when we decided to do it. And the why is twofold. I mean, part of it was just to put ourselves out there as thought leadership. I really hate that word, but have our own little thought leadership platform. I can't think of a better word, but establish ourselves as experts in some way into a field that we were somewhat new in. So when I think it was July 2019 is when we decided to do it. It wasn't until a year later that we actually launched it. And the why was simple. It's like, we want to follow the model that other people for us. And the podcast was very much a part of their success.
Love it. I think it's interesting, though, that it took a year to get started in your podcast.
Gosh.
Yeah, an hour. So why did it take a year to get it going?
You know, there was a lot of other things going on. We were starting a syndication company. We were looking for properties. We were trying to raise capital. We had a lot of other stuff that was going on. And when we looked at what was most important up front, it's like, okay, we've got this deal under contract. We need to close on it in the next, 30 or 40 days, and we still got to raise $1 million. So really, we kind of put it off on the back burner a couple of times until, it got to the point to where, hey, we really need to do this. We really need to start going, and we really need to just launch this thing and get it going. So I think it was just overcome by things that at the time were more pressing, that were more urgent, and definitely important things, but things were just more urgent.
Just curious. I know it took you that year and you had some other things going on. If you went back to July of 2019, when you were thinking about starting a podcast, you're at that conference in Dallas. A lot of other people are saying that they're going to do it. You figure with your partners, we need to do it. What would you have done differently? Would you have done it exactly the same? Would you have hired a company? Would you have started it and stressed yourself out? If you went back knowing what you know now, would you do it the same way?
No, I wouldn't. I think I would have hurried a little faster because the podcast has been a tremendous benefit for us. And had we started it a year earlier, had we in July 2019, decided and taken the action and done what it took to launch in August or September, we would have been able to reap the benefits much sooner. And, the podcast space, it has gotten more and more, I'm not going to say crowded, there's more and more podcasts out there. There's still more and more people listening. So it's always, I think it's still a good time to launch a podcast. But yeah, absolutely. Time issue was what I didn't have. I was working full time. And it was just one of these things where I kept on putting it off until I had more time. And that's really kind of what ended up happening there. But had I gone back, we would have figured out how to, pay for a service, basically set everything up for us and then launched it. That's what I would have done going back at it, hands down.
Got it. Cool stuff. I was thinking about your partners that you said you had in July. Are you still with the same partners?
No, we broke up about 6 months ago.
Okay. All right. Out of curiosity, did they join the podcast when you decided to have a podcast for your company? Were they like, we don't want any part of that, you just do it? Or were they like, I definitely want to be in, but then you kicked them out later? Or how did that go?
You know what? They kind of dumped it on me what happened. I mean, I wasn't supposed to be the host up front. When we first decided to do it, one of my partners was the host, and he called me one day. He's like, dude, I don't have time to do this. He's like, so if we're going to do the podcast, you're going to do it. That's part of the reason it took a year is because, when it got dumped into my lap, I was just like, okay, I guess I'm doing a podcast. And at first I was upset. At first I was like, oh my gosh. But, looking back at it, I mean, it's been wonders for me personally. I've been able to grow my network in lots of different ways, talking with all the guests that come on and, just the thousands and thousands of people who've listened to it. And it's definitely helped me more than I ever would have imagined. So at the time, like I said, I was upset. They just dumped it in my lap. It's like, wait, you were supposed to do this. I mean, okay, I guess I'll do that. And, I set it up. It took me a couple of months to figure out what I was going to do, how I was going to do it. But you know, set it up and started rolling with it, basically what I did. And then, like I said, I learned on the fly. I really did. There's a lot of things, you know, YouTube really helped. And I started editing my own episodes, which, man, I don't even want to go back and listen to the first couple ever again. But that's something that once I started realizing how much time I was taking, it's just like, I don't care how much it costs. I'm going to outsource the editing. Yeah. So that's basically how it came about. It was supposed to be somebody else. He didn't have time. We still thought it was important. And so I launched it and I basically have done everything with the podcast since. When the company broke up, you know, the podcast came with me. I basically said, I'm taking the podcast with me and I'm taking the educational group with me. So that was part of the breakup. I ended up paying a little bit for it, but overall, I think I got a really good deal.
Nice. All right. Well, let's do this. So I promised to our listener that there was basically four things that we were going to be getting at. How to grow organically, these other two secret things, and then your podcast process, how you interview people and how it's different than others. I want to hit on one of the secret things because you've mentioned it twice. You keep saying that you wish you would have given it off. You don't like listening to ones that you had to edit back in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it's all about offloading. So that's one of the secret things that we had today. And do you mind just kind of giving us a couple tidbits? Pretend like I'm the brand new podcaster and I'm afraid to offload, or I'm wondering if I have enough money to offload. What would you say to me?
I would say, how much is your time worth is the answer. How much is your time worth? Because for a 40-minute podcast, I was spending 2 to 3 hours doing the editing, doing the posting, doing social media. And my podcast is different. It took a lot of time to schedule as well. So I was probably spending 3 hours per 40-minute episode. And you start looking at, okay, how much is my time worth? You know, if I put a dollar value on my time, you know, 3 hours for a 40-minute episode, you know, I would, at the time, I'd probably value my time at $75 an hour. Now I value it a lot higher, but, you know, 3 hours, that's $200, $225 if I do my math quickly. And can you get that done for less than $225? Yes. I mean, and that really only works if you're using that time, if you replace that time with productive activities, right? So at the time, I started realizing that me editing the podcast was keeping me from doing other things that were important. It was keeping me from networking, from finding more investors, from finding more deals, from doing the business that the podcast was designed to help support. The running the podcast was actually keeping me from that. And so when I started looking at offloading it and finding somebody else to do the editing for it, it was just like, I can't keep doing this. I'm at a breaking point right now. And we ended up coming up with a plan to get somebody else to edit it and, you know, ended up training somebody to help do all the scheduling for me as well.
Yeah. It reminds me of 2008. I had just sold my first property, bought a multifamily, and the multifamily had a gross revenue of like $3,000 and a net revenue of $300. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the property management companies who handle that stuff and are equipped for and ready for that stuff, they said that they would charge $300. They would charge 10% of rents. And I didn't do it because then I would be breaking even. So I was like, I'm not going to just break even. So instead, I was an idiot and I worked and I wore all the hats and I was the handyman and I cut my own grass and I was the property manager and I signed leases and all of these things. When it came down to it, I realized I was working for less than minimum wage, but in the company that I owned at the time, I was making over $1,000 an hour. When I was college, I started a company and all I did was bids. I did like 5 hours of bidding per day and we were making like $20,000 a month and I loved it. And I was thinking like, this here, this effing triplex is taking away my ability to make thousands an hour. And instead I'm making under minimum wage because I cared about this 300 for some reason per month. Anyway, I love it. Just offload that stuff as soon as possible. I love your story about how you did that, when you did that, why you did that. That thought process of being valued at, what is your time worth? 75, 100, 150 an hour, 1,000 an hour, whatever it is. what is your time worth? And then work, kind of work backwards to make sure that we're not wasting time pinching these pennies. So let's go into this growing organically. You know what? Let's go to your process first and then growing organically, because I think that's how it naturally will fit best. So how do you do your podcast differently from all of the other people in your space? And then we'll talk about how you grow organically.
Awesome. So what's different? We have two guests on every episode. And when you look at the avatar of our episode, we call our avatar the aspiring apartment investor, the person that wants to start actively investing in apartments, you know, buying, syndicating, raising capital, you know, finding deals, all of that stuff. And there's a big barrier to entry getting in. And so we wanted to basically make that person our avatar, but more importantly, bring that person on the podcast. So our avatar comes on the podcast on most of our episodes. We have a couple of different episode types, but the one we do most frequently, we call an Ask the Expert episode. And we have an aspiring apartment investor, and we pair them up with an experienced apartment investor. And I would say the first 20 minutes of each episode is very similar to any other podcast in the industry, where it's an interview of somebody who's done something in the field. But in a 40-minute episode, we probably spend 15 or 18 minutes talking with the experienced investor. And then we bring the aspiring investor on. We talk to them for 5 minutes about, you know, who they are, where they come from. And then I figuratively hand them the mic and say, hey, what questions do you want to ask? And the rest of the episode is the aspiring investor asking questions to the experienced investor. So that's the format. Part of the process, you know, we have to go searching for two types of podcast guests, you know, the experienced podcasters, or not podcasters, the experienced investors, and then the aspiring investors as well. So processes, I'm involved in a lot of Facebook groups and a lot of, you know, online communities where the aspiring apartment investor clusters. And so a lot of times I'll advertise in there that I'm looking for groups, you know, so like the Michael Blanc coaching group, multifamily mastery group, Rod Cleese group, you know, Whitney Sewell's Facebook group. So a lot of these places where these guys congregate, I use that to find our aspiring investors. The experienced investors, you know, people that I network with, people that I meet at conferences, and we use a lot of other podcasts to find guests. I have a virtual assistant who will give her a list of 10 different podcasts that are in the industry, and she knows what to look for. And she goes through the show notes and like, yep. So that's what we do to find the guest. But I think the most intricate part is matching, because there's so many different hats that you can wear in the multifamily industry. We want to make sure that the person asking the question isn't going to stump the chump, so to speak. So we have a questionnaire that everybody fills out, and the aspiring investor questionnaire has very similar questions to the experienced investor. The aspiring investor, we say, what subjects or what types of questions do you want to ask? And for the experienced investor, it's like, what subjects do you feel comfortable answering questions about? And so one of the biggest pieces in the process, I taught my VA how to do this, is you look at the forms and you look at the forms for the experienced investor and you see what kind of questions they're comfortable with answering. And then we go find an aspiring investor that can match up well with them. And it's sometimes difficult. We give the experienced investor our Calendly link. And I mean, we usually have them schedule 2 to 3 weeks out. We have that set up in Calendly so they can't schedule within 5 days at least, but 2 to 3 weeks out is kind of the goal and give us time to find that aspiring investor. So the experienced investor puts a date on the calendar. My VA rolls through the other applications and, okay, we have this aspiring investor. We have Tom, you know, Tom meets the criteria. She'll send an email to Tom. Can you come on the podcast at this date and time? Yes or no. If no, she goes to the next person. So the process is quite intricate, and it's amazingly simpler to bring a single guest on a podcast. But yeah, so that part ended up being the second, after I outsourced the editing of that, that was the second part that I started outsourcing, because I wanted every episode to be perfect, and I was probably spending more time than I needed to on that. But like I said, found a virtual assistant, taught her how you know, and basically said, hey, just match the questions and make sure they can answer the right questions and set it up. And so, you know, she does a lot of that, and it's an interesting process. It's very unique. And if you can bring your avatar on your show and have your avatar ask questions, it's going to be relevant to your avatar. And that's why we chose to do it that way.
I got a whole bunch of notes from this. First and foremost, I was just on Brian's show, and I remember that form. So my virtual assistant basically gets me booked on the podcast generally, but sometimes there's questions on there that she'll ask me, hey, what should I say here? And I think there was like maybe a checklist of four or five things that she was like, hey, what do you feel comfortable? And at first I was like embarrassed because I like skipped most of them. And I think I only checked one or two. I remember doing that. And I remember filling that out with her. And then later on, we're on the interview. One of the things that I put on there was like branding and I think attracting capital. And so the guy actually asked me when it was his turn. So I went first for like the 15 minutes, like you said.
Yep.
And then we kind of turned it over to him. And then he asked some questions. And the main question that I remember is, should I be raising money all the time, or should I do it now, or should I do it later? And my response was all about that. So I'm going to ask you, Brian, was when he was being onboarded, was he wondering how to attract capital?
Yes, yes. Those were the questions that he pre-did. Now, you came on with John Manfredi, and I've known John for about a year and a half now. Just, you know, finally he asked me, he's like, hey, it's about time for me to come on your podcast. But those were his legitimate questions. And if you remember the process, what I forgot to mention is the aspiring investor, I asked them to submit a list of questions they want to ask. And the other part of the process is I email them out to the experienced investor so they can prepare. But that was absolutely one of the questions that he wanted. And that's part of our process. You know, we typically try to keep at least 20 people in the pool of aspiring investors at a time. And so when my VA gets somebody scheduled, it doesn't matter if you only check one or two out of the six blocks. We've got somebody. If we can keep 20 people in that pool, we've got somebody who's going to be able to ask the right questions to that expert, or an expert that can answer the questions for one of those people at least.
That's pretty cool. One of my absolute favorite parts of this is that you're interviewing your avatar. And I think, boom, 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 people should pay attention to this, because a lot of people, for example, you mentioned there's a whole bunch of other podcasts that were starting around the same time you wanted to start in the space, and they all wanted to follow a similar model to what others had done. And in my opinion, that model is to interview people that are doing it and just interview people that are doing it. I think we miss out on the ability to start working with our avatar if we're not interviewing our avatar. I think our actual avatar, basically our perfect listener, our perfect client, is going to resonate with listening to other people like them asking questions. You get better at your craft. You just simply get better at your craft. When you are sitting there and your newbie investor asks a question, you can say, that's a question that my avatar wants to know. That's a question that I should build a program around. I should make a white sheet. I should make a lead magnet around that question. What a great question. So insightful. And you might be able to work with that person. You're sitting there with them. At the end, you're like, hey, these are some of the questions that you had. Adam didn't answer them on this podcast. Want to do a coaching call or something like that, you know? So
And I do have an educational community. Like I said, it was part of the feeder to the educational community. And our processes aren't perfect yet, you know, and I'm looking at, you know, making things better, but a lot of the content inside our educational community, it's called the Tribe of Titans, is from the podcasts. You know, I listen to what questions people ask over and over and over again. And when I hear the same question three or four times, I write a blog article. We have a solo episode where I speak for, you know, 8 to 10 minutes at a time. But that usually comes from the questions off the podcast. And one step further in reading the book, Nail It, Then Scale It, where one of the things they talk about is understanding your audience and make sure you have a product that they need. talking with that avatar, you know, 2 to 3 times a week on the podcast and listening to them ask questions, listen to them tell their story, listen to them talk about their big burning why that I bring on the podcast, you know, I have a really good idea of what those guys are looking for, which is the whole premise of the book, Nail It, Then Scale It. Understand what people need and then create a product that fits the bill.
I love it. We're going to make sure I probably have an affiliate link for Amazon Books and for Audible Books. And so I want to make sure my team gets that into the show notes so that people can just click to find Nail It, Then Scale It. And certainly I want to buy it. So yeah. I'm going to get it. And the links will also be in the show notes. I was wondering if you had solo episodes because you said early on, quote, maybe I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't quote. All of our interviews have two people, something like that. Mm-hmm. All of our episodes, I think you said, have two people. And so what's kind of the ratio, though, of your solo 8-minute episode, these other interview episodes where there's always two people?
We release 3 a week. Mondays and Fridays are the interview episodes. Wednesdays are my solo episode. So cool. 2 out of 3 are interview episodes. Okay. About a year after we launched the podcast, we started doing what are called first deal episodes, where I bring one of the aspiring investors back on the show after they've closed their first deal. You know, so it's a, hey, you were on the podcast 6 or 8 months ago. Why didn't you come back on? You closed the deal now. Let's talk about what you learned and whatnot. So looking at ratios, some of the Monday and Wednesday releases are first deal episodes. But looking at ratios, I would say over half of my episodes are Ask the Expert, probably closer to over half is probably where we are on that one. And then 1/3 are the solo episodes, which are every Wednesdays. And then whatever the remaining percentage left over is the first deal episode.
So with 52 weeks in a year and you bringing on 2 different people on every episode, you're basically having 100+ of your avatar that you're interviewing and another 100+ of the experts experience that you're getting to have a connection with, add value to them. There's a law of reciprocity out there. They might know that you do your coaching business and they might have other people in mind. Yeah. I want to ask you if you think you have a hole in the process. I'm going to lead the question though.
Yeah.
We've known each other in person since July of 19. But I never knew you had that coaching program. Mm-hmm. And what I'm wondering is if you're purposefully letting the guest who's the expert know that. I'm not sure if I remember it. You may have used it in conversation, but you never really said, hey, Adam, if you know anybody or something like that. So I'm just curious if you could get more results doing something else.
There is definitely a hole. And one thing that I'm trying to fix right now, one hole I'm trying to plug is the follow-up with the aspiring investor. You know, so sometimes I'd follow up with them, sometimes I wouldn't. You know, sometimes I'd forget about them and then, you know, not see him again for a while. But just being able to capture, okay, they're aspiring investors, they are my avatar, and now get them on, you know, our active campaign list where we're sending out educational resources. We're giving them more opportunities to join the tribe. So that's definitely one hole. And what you brought up is crucial as well. I don't, with the experienced investors, besides just saying, hey, here's the episode art, here's the links to share, please share it. I don't do a whole lot of follow-up with them either. So that's definitely one thing that I'm going to start doing. Number one, I'm going to fix the follow-up with the aspiring investors, but you know, I'm adding the follow-up with the experienced investors to my list.
Cool. Because I'm thinking like, you got 100 of those experienced investors, 104 of them that are coming on at, by the end of 1 year. And if 5%, 5 of them give you 1.5 people on average each, that's a good 7 more people just that year that came through. It's almost, that's getting close to 1 a month. So good stuff.
I do have a couple. There's a couple of people who know I have the program. And when they've been on the podcast as aspiring investors, but they're more people like you, where I have a relationship with them. They're not just the transactional come on my podcast. But I do have several people that when they get calls from people who want to do it are plugging them into me. And I didn't realize that I could capitalize on that one, or it hadn't crossed my mind yet. So I appreciate that insight. That's awesome.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
One new, one experienced.
Mm-hmm.
You said you're matching people up because of what questions mm-hmm. they wanted to ask or answer.
Yeah.
And you don't want to stump the chump. And that means that you don't want, for example, one of my business partners does all the asset mm-hmm. management. I'm sure I know a couple of things about asset management, but I don't do it. I don't right. experience it. And you really only learn enough to teach when you truly experience it, you know? So it's not just theory. Mm-hmm. So you were kind enough not to set me up with somebody who was like, how do I do evictions yeah. or something like that? I'm like, I don't have to know. You got to call your attorney. I don't know.
You know, and we want to make the experienced guest look good. I mean, that's part of it. We want to make our guest look good. And that's part of the reason why when I went through the beginning, I'm like, how do I make sure people are matching? I went through painstaking efforts to figure out these forms, and I've updated them several times. I probably haven't in the last year, but that's one thing that I desperately want to do is make sure that the guests look good. And I never want the, hey, tell me about, like you said, evictions, and then get the response that you just gave is just like, I don't know, because that makes them look a little bit less credible, puts a little bit of a chink in their armor. And so, yeah, I go through painstaking efforts to make sure that doesn't happen. I send people the questions ahead of time. I would say probably about 30% of the people who come on as experienced investors actually look at that, but it's there.
Love it.
That's one of the things. You want your guests to look good.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're talking about growing organically. And then we're going to give that other secret thing that you wanted to pour into the listener today. So we'll be right back.
Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show.
We're back with Brian Briscoe. And as promised, we're going to get into how he grows his podcast organically, because I know you want to grow your podcast organically. Even if you have a giant budget to put toward it, to grow it with money behind it, I think it's going to be really helpful for you to have some ideas on growing organically. So I'm going to have him share with that. I do want to share a couple of things that we heard right before the break. We talked about Calendly and how he's using some features to block people out for the first 5 days. And it's going to go a little bit after that, how he has a virtual assistant working for him to schedule some of this and what they're looking for and how they're looking at other people's podcasts, reading the show notes and saying, this guy would be good, this guy would be bad, this girl would be good, etc. We also mentioned the book, Nail It, Then Scale It, which is in the show notes. And we talked about offloading. We talked about his process of like how he interviews two people at a time. One of them is always his avatar. Let's jump in right here. How do we grow organically the way you've been growing organically, Brian?
You know, when I started doing the podcast, I was looking for lots of guests. That was one of the hard parts, is finding guests as a new podcaster. And so what I tried to do is do podcast swaps, is what we call. So I have some experience in multifamily. I've got one or two properties under my belt that I can talk about. I have a little bit of experience. And so I would find another podcaster in the industry and do a podcast swap. And what I started noticing is some of these other podcasters made it really easy to share the episode. Some of the podcasters wouldn't even tell you when the episode went live. They wouldn't share the episode art. I remember being on the first, what I would call really big podcast. And it was one of the podcasts that I had listened to for years, coming on that podcast episode. And this particular podcaster, when his team sent me the episode art, there was a really, really big picture of him on it. And a very, very small picture of me. That for me was just like, I almost felt like it was a slap in the face. It's just like, man, I was so excited to come on his podcast, but I'm not excited about sharing it now. I don't want to put this picture on anything, you know? So what I started doing, and if you look at how my episode art's changed over the years, the faces have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger to where I've taken my podcast logo and I shrunk it down, 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 and to put more room for faces. So one thing that I try to do, and I'm not perfect at it, is have attractive episode art where people's faces are big. And there's not a difference between the size of my face as the host and the faces of the other guests, because I want them to be able to look at that and say, yes, I want to share it, right? So that's one thing that we do. We also send them a bunch of links. You know, we go through, and this is something that my VA does. They'll send them a link to the episode on Apple. They'll send them a link to the episode on Spotify and some of the major podcasts. I forget the technical name for it, but where you, the podcast apps, right? So, and we make it super easy for them to share. We give them a little blurb and say, hey, if all you do is cut and paste this and put it in your social media, I mean, there you go. So what somebody has to do to share the podcast is click one of the links, and that's it. They click one of the link and it'll automatically share on Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram. If they want to go one step further, we have the episode art. We give them three different sizes of episode art. So if they want to post the episode art and then put a blurb in there, we give them a sample blurb they can cut and paste, or they can just put whatever they want on there. But we give them the links, we give them the sample blurbs, and, you know, looking at how the podcast has grown over the years and talking with people who've listened to it, most people who've added this to their podcast routine have seen somebody else post about it. It's not my post they've seen, it's somebody else's post. It's like, oh, hey, well, I'm in XYZ education program. One of my friends came on the podcast. That's the first time I ever heard about it because he posted it on his social media and they start listening. And the first month, we thought we were on a tear, got my numbers in front of me. The very first month, we had 2,000 downloads. And it's a very niche podcast, so I don't think I'm ever going to hit, you know, large, large numbers. We get more than that every week. Now, we average about 550, 600 per episode right now, which for a multifamily, very niche specific podcast, I think that's decent.
That's so huge. Yeah. That's awesome. Good job, man. So a couple of things here. We will get that secret thing here in a moment, but I want to wrap this up. So it sounds like there's a couple of things that we can do to grow our podcast. One of them, I don't know if you meant to say it or not, it is to be interviewed on other people's shows, because that does actually grow your audience just by being on their show. It grows your credibility. It grows the people that know you and that have heard you and then might check out your own podcast, because all of their podcast listeners, all of them listen to podcasts. And so it's a pretty easy transition, especially if it's in the same genre. So that was really, really good. So podcast swaps, but you also mentioned that through the podcast swaps, you did some reconnaissance, like you were in the military and you know how to do your recon. And so here you were looking to see what are people doing. Some of them are giving you nothing. Some of them are giving you everything. Some of them, they're giving you the picture, but their picture outshines your image that's on that artwork. You're less likely to want to share it. On our podcast, we always make my picture the smallest, and the guest is as much space as we can give them. And then we put their like quote on there. Cause just like you said, we want them to feel like they can share this episode. We want them to be proud of it. You mentioned that you share links with them of the different platforms so that they can share them. And a couple things that were just key, I mean, killer. And that is the first one. I love the quote, how you said this. If all you want to do is basically copy and paste this, really easy, go ahead and do that. And then you say, if you want to take it one step further, you can do this other thing. And I think that that subliminally sets in that if you weren't going to do anything, you're like, okay, I'm not going to do that second thing, but I guess I can copy and paste this since he's bringing it up, you know? And so I love that. And then a lot of people are like, man, I just want to support this guy and the podcast. I'm going to do both. So that is brilliant. cut and paste. If all you want to do is paste this, copy this, do that. If you want to take it one step further, you can do this other thing. So that was really, really cool. And I think additionally, when we are a podcaster and all we do is solo episodes, it's going to be really hard for our guests to share our episodes because we don't have any guests. Mm-hmm. For you, you've got two guests twice a week. So every year you have this ability to grow pretty much exponentially because you're having so many different guests on the podcast, a new one and an experienced person in your field.
Yeah.
All right. So what is the key thing that we're going to end with today that you got from, I think it was Stephen Covey?
Begin with the end in mind. And like I said, when we developed the podcast, we looked at the end and we said, okay, what do we want the podcast to accomplish? Now, a lot of people in my industry, I think one of the mistakes they make is they want to talk about syndication and use that to raise capital. Well, your avatar is not the type of person that wants to passively invest. So you need to begin with the end in the mind. What do you want your avatar to actually do? And what is the result of the podcast for you? And if you can look at that end state, it really helps you to fine tune some of the things you do on the podcast. You know, maybe what your subject is, what types of questions you ask, what type of guests you bring on, what the theme is. And that is really what led us to the two-person format, because we have an educational community that is just ramping up right now. We have this educational community, and we want the aspiring investors to get into the educational community. And we want the podcast listeners, the aspiring investors, to join our educational community. And so that really helped us design the process. Like I said, we're constantly improving upon it. The other thing that I would say you need to do is start and fix it as you go along. You know, it's kind of like the build the plane as you're falling through the sky type approach, but we're working on making that process more efficient, where when people come on the show, we're going to be doing more follow-up with them. We're going to put them on a drip campaign. We're going to send them educational emails. We're going to provide them value to where we incentivize them to get into our program. And so that's, if you don't start with the end in mind, your podcast is not likely to get you where you want to go or get you the value you want to get out of it.
Yeah. I built my first podcast up pretty good sized where when I was selling it, it was at 3,500 downloads per episode. And I was not sure if I wanted to leave it, but here's the problem. I didn't begin with the end in mind. The goal that I really wanted, the thing that I expected to happen from having that podcast, didn't really happen that much because it was called Creative Real Estate. And that got people who didn't have a whole bunch of money to say, ooh, that's cool. Maybe I could still buy real estate even when I don't have money. But you know what I wanted was passive investors investing in my deal. And so there was nobody who is a high net worth individual who was scrolling through and saw, ooh, creative real estate. I got to click on this.
Yeah,
so exactly. I didn't begin with the end in mind. I made that F up. And as a result, I couldn't maintain it, even though it had a good listener base. I couldn't keep doing it. So I think that's a powerful way to end the podcast. Go and check out Diary of an Apartment Investor. It's in the show notes already. Check out Brian. If you are going to give him a rating and review, a written review of the podcast, whatever you think of it, let him know you heard about him here. And the last thing that I'll say to you, the listener, is that every other episode on this podcast is a solo episode where I can just pour into you. So I like that opportunity to just chat with you and help you with your business. And you'll get that by staying around and checking out the next episode. Brian, thank you for your time, and I'll see you soon. By the way, one way to ensure that you don't miss out on great content that we're producing on a regular basis is to make sure you're subscribed to the show. You need to be subscribed or following the Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to it in order not to miss all of that. And before I let you go, I need to mention, because a lot of people are asking, do you help? Can you help me with this? And the answer is yes. My company actually does it. It's called Grow Your Show. And you can find that at growyourshow.com. Our clients, they call us the easy button for podcaster because they simply have to record their episode. And they know that every single thing else is done for them. We sweat the hard stuff so you can be the star of your show. And if you would like help to make sure that we're editing and publishing and promoting and doing your social media, it's all in one place. And I think it's pretty affordable. You'll have to take a look for yourself. Just go to growyourshow.com and check us out. And by the way, I'll see you on the next episode.